Chapter 67. You know what he is considered? One of the most remarkable men in the country? Said Martin, at a venture. That's a fact, rejoined Kettle. I was sure you must have heard of him. Said Martin, addressing himself to the general again, that I have the pleasure of being the bearer of a letter of introduction to you, sir. From Mr. Bevan, of Massachusetts, he added, giving it to him. The general took it, and read it attentively, now and then stopping, to glance at the two strangers. When he had finished the note, he came over to Martin, sat down by him, and shook hands. Well, he said, and you think of settling in Eden? Subject to your opinion, and the agent's advice, replied Martin. I am told there is nothing to be done in the old towns. I can introduce you to the agent, sir, said the general. I know him. In fact, I am a member of the Eden Land Corporation myself. This was serious news to Martin, for his friend had laid great stress upon the general's having no connection, as he thought, with any land company, and therefore being likely to give him disinterested advice. The general explained that he had joined the corporation only a few weeks ago, and that no communication had passed between himself and Mr. Bevan since. We have very little to venture, said Martin anxiously, only a few pounds, but it is our all. Now, do you think that for one of my profession, this would be a speculation with any hope or chance in it? Observed the general, gravely, if there wasn't any hope or chance in the speculation, it wouldn't have engaged my dollars, I opinionate. I don't mean for the sellers, said Martin. For the buyers, sir. Observed the general, in a most impressive manner. Well, you come from an old country, from a country, sir, that has piled up golden calves as high as Babel, and worshipped them for ages. We are a new country, sir. Man is in a more primeval state here, sir. We have not the excuse of having lapsed in the slow course of time into degenerate practices. We have no false gods. Man, sir, here, is man in all his dignity. We fought for that or nothing. Here am I, sir, said the general, setting up his umbrella to represent himself, and a villainous-looking umbrella it was, a very bad counter, to stand for the sterling coin of his benevolence. Here am I with gray hair, sir, and a moral sense. Would I, with my principles, invest capital in this speculation, if I didn't think it full of hopes and chances for my brother man? Martin tried to look convinced, but he thought of New York, and found it difficult. What are the great United States for, sir, pursued the general, if not for the regeneration of man? But it is natural in you to make such an inquiry, for you come from England, and you do not know my country. Then you think, said Martin, that allowing for the hardships we are prepared to undergo, there is a reasonable, heaven knows we don't expect much, a reasonable opening in this place? A reasonable opening in Eden, sir. But see the maps and plans, sir, and conclude to go or stay, according to the matter of the settlement. Eden hadn't need to go a-begging yet, sir, remarked the general. It is an awful lovely place, sure lie. And frightful wholesome, likewise. Said Mr. Kettle, who had made himself a party to this conversation as a matter of course. Martin felt that to dispute such testimony, for no better reason than because he had his secret misgivings on the subject, would be ungentlemanly and indecent. So he thanked the general for his promise to put him in personal communication with the agent, and concluded to see that officer next morning. He then begged the general to inform them who the Watertoast sympathizers were, of whom he had spoken in addressing Mr. Lafayette Kettle, and on what grievances they bestowed their sympathy. To which the general, looking very serious, made answer that he might fully enlighten himself on those points tomorrow by attending a great meeting of the body, which would then be held at the town to which they were traveling. Over which, sir, apostrophe said the general, my fellow citizens have called on me to preside. Apostrophe, they came to their journey's end late in the evening. Close to the railway was an immense white edifice, like an ugly hospital, on which was painted National Hotel. Apostrophe, there was a wooden gallery or veranda in front, in which it was rather startling, when the train stopped, to behold a great many pairs of boots and shoes, and the smoke of a great many cigars, but no other evidences of human habitation. By slow degrees, however, some heads and shoulders appeared, and connecting themselves with the boots and shoes, led to the discovery that certain gentlemen boarders, who had a fancy for putting their heels where the gentlemen boarders in other countries usually put their heads, were enjoying themselves after their own manner in the cool of the evening. There was a great bar room in this hotel, and a great public room in which the general table was being set out for supper. There were interminable whitewashed staircases, long whitewashed galleries upstairs and downstairs, scores of little whitewashed bedrooms, and a four-sided veranda to every story in the house, which formed a large brick square with an uncomfortable courtyard in the center, where some clothes were drying. Here and there, some yawning gentlemen lounged up and down with their hands in their pockets, but within the house and without, wherever half a dozen people were collected together, there, in their looks, dress, morals, manners, habits, intellect, and conversation, were Mr. Jefferson Brick, Colonel Diver, Major Pawkins, General Choke, and Mr. Lafayette Kettle, over, and over, and over again. They did the same things, said the same things, judged all subjects by, and reduced all subjects to, the same standard. Observing how they lived, and how they were always in the enchanting company of each other, Martin even began to comprehend their being the social, cheerful, winning, airy men they were. At the sounding of a dismal gong, this pleasant company went trooping down from all parts of the house to the public room, while from the neighboring stores other guests came flocking in shoals. For half the town, married folks as well as single, resided at the National Hotel. Tea, coffee, dried meats, tongue, ham, pickles, cake, toast, preserves, and bread and butter, were swallowed with the usual ravaging speed. And then, as before, the company dropped off by degrees, and lounged away to the desk, the counter, or the bar room. The ladies had a smaller ordinary of their own, to which their husbands and brothers were admitted if they chose, and in all other respects they enjoyed themselves as at Pawkins. Now, Mark, my good fellow, said Martin, closing the door of his little chamber, we must hold a solemn council, for our fate is decided tomorrow morning. You are determined to invest these savings of yours in the common stock, are you? Apostrophe, apostrophe, if I hadn't been determined to make that winter, sir, apostrophe, answered Mr. Tapley, I shouldn't have come. Apostrophe, how much is there here, did you say, asked Martin, holding up a little bag. £37.10. The savings bank said so at least. I never counted it. But they know, bless you. Apostrophe, said Mark, with a shake of the head expressive of his unbounded confidence in the wisdom and arithmetic of those institutions. The money we brought with us, apostrophe, said Martin, is reduced to a few shillings less than £8. Apostrophe, Mr. Tapley smiled, and looked all manner of ways, that he might not be supposed to attach any importance to this fact. Upon the ring, Mark, apostrophe, said Martin, looking ruefully at his empty finger, ah, apostrophe, apostrophe, sighed Mr. Tapley. Beg your pardon, sir. Apostrophe, apostrophe, we raised, in English money, £14. So, even with that, your share of the stock is still very much the larger of the two, you see. Now, Mark, apostrophe said Martin, in his old way, just as he might have spoken to Tom Pinch, I have thought of a means of making this up to you more than making it up to you, I hope, and very materially elevating your prospects in life. Apostrophe, oh. Don't talk of that, you know, sir, apostrophe returned Mark. I don't want no elevating, sir. I'm all right enough, sir, I am. Apostrophe, no, but hear me, apostrophe said Martin, because this is very important to you, and a great satisfaction to me. Mark, you shall be a partner in the business, an equal partner with myself. I will put in, as my additional capital, my professional knowledge and ability, and half the annual profits, as long as it is carried on, shall be yours. Apostrophe, poor Martin. Forever building castles in the air. Forever, in his very selfishness, forgetful of all but his own teeming hopes and sanguine plans. Swelling, at that instant, with the consciousness of patronizing, and most munificently rewarding Mark. I don't know, sir, apostrophe Mark rejoined, much more sadly than his custom was, though from a very different cause than Martin supposed. What I can say to this, in the way of thanking you. I'll stand by you, sir, to the best of my ability, and to the last. That's all. Apostrophe, we quite understand each other, my good fellow, apostrophe said Martin rising in self-approval and condescension. We are no longer master and servant, but friends and partners, and are mutually gratified. If we determine on Eden, the business shall be commenced, as soon as we get there. Under the name, apostrophe said Martin, who never hammered upon an idea that wasn't red hot, under the name of Chuzzlewit and Tapley. Apostrophe, Lord love you, sir, apostrophe cried Mark, don't have my name in it. I ain't acquainted with the business, sir. I must be company, I must. I've often thought, apostrophe he added, in a low voice, as I should like to know a company semicolon, but I little thought as ever I should live to be one. Apostrophe, you shall have your own way, Mark. Apostrophe, thank ye, sir. If any country gentleman thereabouts, in the public way, or otherwise, wanted such a thing as a skittle ground made, I could take that part of the business, sir. Apostrophe, against any architect in the States, apostrophe said Martin. Get a couple of sherry cobblers, Mark, and we'll drink success to the firm. Apostrophe, either he forgot already and often afterwards, that they were no longer master and servant, or considered this kind of duty, to be among the legitimate functions of the company. But Mark obeyed with his usual alacrity. And before they parted for the night, it was agreed between them that they should go together to the agents in the morning, but that Martin should decide the Eden question on his own sound judgment. And Mark made no merit, even to himself in his jollity, of this concession, perfectly well knowing that the matter would come to that in the end, anyway. The general was one of the party at the public table next day, and after breakfast suggested that they should wait upon the agent without loss of time. They, desiring nothing more, agreed. So off they all four started for the office of the Eden Settlement, which was almost within rifle shot of the National Hotel. It was a small place, something like a turnpike. But a great deal of land may be got into a dice box, and why may not a whole territory be bargained for in a shed? It was but a temporary office too, for the Edeners were going to build a superb establishment for the transaction of their business, and had already got so far as to mark out the site, which is a great way in America. The office door was wide open, and in the doorway was the agent. No doubt a tremendous fellow to get through his work, for he seemed to have no arrears, but was swinging backwards and forwards in a rocking chair, with one of his legs planted high up against the doorpost, and the other doubled up under him, as if he were hatching his foot. He was a gaunt man in a huge straw hat, and a coat of green stuff. the weather being hot, he had no cravat and wore his shirt collar wide open, so that every time he spoke something was seen to twitch and jerk up in his throat, like the little hammers in a harpsichord when the notes are struck. Perhaps it was the truth feebly endeavoring to leap to his lips. If so, it never reached them. Two gray eyes lurked deep within this agent's head, but one of them had no sight in it, and stood stock still. With that side of his face he seemed to listen to what the other side was doing. Thus each profile had a distinct expression, and when the movable side was most in action, the rigid one was in its coldest state of watchfulness. It was like turning the man inside out, to pass to that view of his features in his liveliest mood, and see how calculating and intent they were. Each long black hair upon his head hung down as straight as any plummet line, but rumpled tufts were on the arches of his eyes, as if the crow whose foot was deeply printed in the corners had pecked and torn them in a savage recognition of his kindred nature as a bird of prey. Such was the man whom they now approached, and whom the general saluted by the name of Scatter. "Well, General," apostrophe he returned, "and how are you?" Apostrophe, "active and spry, sir, in my country's service and the sympathetic cause. Two gentlemen on business, Mr. Scatter." Apostrophe, he shook hands with each of them. "Nothing is done in America without shaking hands," then went on rocking. "I think I know what business you have brought these strangers here upon, then, General?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, "Well, sir, I expect you may." Apostrophe, "You are a tongue-wy person, General, for you talk too much, and that's fact," apostrophe said Scatter. "You speak alarming well in public, but you didn't, ought to go ahead, so fast in private. Now, apostrophe, if I can realize your meaning, ride me on a rail." Apostrophe, apostrophe, returned the General, after pausing for consideration. "You know we didn't wish to sell the lots off right away to any loafer as might bid," apostrophe said Scatter, "but had concluded to reserve them for aristocrats of matter." "Yes," apostrophe, "and they are here, sir," apostrophe, apostrophe, cried the General with warmth. "They are here, sir," apostrophe, apostrophe, "if they are here," apostrophe, returned the agent, in reproachful accents, "that's enough. But you didn't, ought to have your danderous with me, General." Apostrophe, the General whispered Martin, that Scatter was the honestest fellow in the world, and that he wouldn't have given him offense designedly, for $10,000. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.